Amen. We just sang about him being a good, good father and that he is perfect in all of his ways. We're going to talk about the perfect father. And it is my hope that it will be a reminder as well as an encouragement to you and me about his goodness to us. Amen. I want to invite you, as the scripture is there on the screen, I want to invite you to read this with me. Amen. Amen. I will lead us. I will get us started beginning in Romans chapter 8, verse number 12. And we're going to read through verse number 16. Verse number 16. Are you ready? You got to use your outside voice. Don't use your inside voice, okay? Amen. Your outside voice. Go ahead and read it like you believe what you're reading. Amen. For it is the word of God, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. Let's read together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen. Amen. We are God's children. And so we want to talk about the perfect father. Amen. Amen. We are his children. I'm so glad to see our international travelers back with us today. Amen. Amen. We had prayed that God would grant them safe travel, and they did indeed travel safely, return home, and came back to be in the midst of the believers, and we give God thanks. Amen. Oh, we got to learn how to give God thanks in everything. Amen. We pray for something, God delivers. You better act like you're grateful for it. Don't just kind of take it in passing and move on. You better get excited about what God is doing. Why? Because he's the perfect father. He's the perfect father. Amen. 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 Wow. This scripture that we just read helps you and I know with absolute certainty. For it declares in that last verse that we read that the Spirit of God testifies and witnesses to our spirit that we are the children of God. When Paul was writing this in Romans, he was talking at this particular moment to those who have placed their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ. For they are the ones who become the family of God. They are the ones who receive the Spirit of God. In fact, in that particular chapter, Paul says that any man or woman, any person who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. Amen. And so in order for the Spirit to testify to your spirit, the Spirit must be living in you. And when he does that, he witnesses that you are a child of God, affirming that your confidence, affirming that your faith, affirming that your witness, affirming that your belief resulted in something unique happening in your life. It wasn't just something you did, but when you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and when you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he snatched you out of darkness and brought you over into his family. He snatched you out of the hand of the enemy and said, you belong to me. Hallelujah. That means that we are his children. Therefore, we have the perfect father. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's good news. I was blessed to be raised by a wonderful father. He was a hardworking man who provided for his family. He was a man who made sacrifices for us because he elevated the need of the family above his very own. I had the opportunity of witnessing a wonderful transformation in my father's life. All my life, I had been able to see my dad go to church, but I was able to witness him move from being a church goer to a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. I was able to witness change in his life that resulted from him walking closely with the Father. And what he was able to do was transfer his faith over to his children such that we didn't put so much hope and confidence in him, but we started to understand that we had a Father who superseded him. I tell you, it was and is a wonderful blessing. Now, my father, even though he was good, he wasn't perfect. Amen. For anybody who is wrapped in this stuff called flesh, amen, is fallible. Amen. Will make mistakes that even when they try to do what is best, sometimes will stumble. And so there were those opportunities in those moments where all of his decisions were not the best decisions. All of the discipline that he meted out to us wasn't the best discipline. But I tell you what, because of his love, we were kept. And we were reminded that, yes, he is good, but he is not perfect. Oh, what that does is give me even greater appreciation for the God who sits high and who looks low, who calls himself my father. Because he says that even though he has used surrogates here upon earth, he has said, listen, I'm just giving them as a stopgap measure. I never let them take my place. I never relinquish my authority. I never let you go, for I will always be your father. And when they drop the ball, I'll catch you. Amen. I'll hold you. And I'll take care of you because I am the perfect father. There is a story that was told in San Francisco back in 1953. Construction began on the Golden Gate Bridge. The chief engineer that was assigned to the project was a gentleman by the name of Joseph Strauss. And back in those days, bridge building was extremely dangerous. The industry norm was that one construction worker would die for every $1 million spent on a project. This project was about $35 million to complete the building of the bridge. And so the project then would, if it's one construction worker for every $1 million, you were looking at almost three dozen lives that were just expected to be lost in the process of building the bridge. There was immense pressure under that Strauss was under to build the bridge on time and within budget. But even with all of that kind of pressure, he made an investment that is equivalent to about $2.7 million in today's dollars to build or to install a safety net. And so what he did was there was a net that was strung underneath the entire length of the bridge. And then it extended about 10 feet on either side of the workspace. You can picture that. If you've ever seen acrobats doing trapeze acts, you know, they're swinging from one bar to the other. You know that beneath them, even though they have practiced and even though they have worked hard to hone their skills, there is the possibility because what they are not perfect. There is a possibility that there might be a miss. Beneath them, there's a net that is spread just in case someone falls so that they can be safe. And so this net was similar to that kind of a net that was beneath the Golden Gate Bridge. There was a comment that was made by some of the workers. They said, on the Golden Gate Bridge, we had the idea that we could cheat death by providing every known safety device for workers. Well, there were a couple of people that failed during the construction process. But it says when they fail, they got back up and continued to do their work. Amen? Because they knew that there was something there to catch them. It said because of that, they were able to work more productively. They were able to work more efficiently, and they completed the job within the scheduled time frame. And it is attributed to, part of that is attributed to the fact that there was a safety net beneath them. What I like about the perfect father is that even though he uses surrogates, men like me, to step in and be fathers, what he has said is, don't worry, I've got a safety net beneath you. I'll be your safety net so that, boy, when you drop the ball, I got it. Amen. Amen. I got it. So what it does is it allows me as a father to do my job more effectively as I model what he's doing. But what it also does is as a child, because I'm also a child of the King, as a child, it allows me to live my life more freely, not being hindered by all of the stuff that hinders earthly fathers, not being caught up with the baggage of those who are failing. I can live my life free of the fact that even though they might mess up, he never will. Even though they may let me down, he never will. And when they take a misstep, there is a God, my Father, who is there. Girl, you better preach to pick me up again. Amen. Whew. He is a good, good Father. He's a perfect Father. And on this Father's Day, as we celebrate the earthly fathers that he has given us, I want us to go a step higher and begin to celebrate our daddy, celebrate our father, celebrate the one that we can call Abba. Abba is an intimate term. It's not just some distant term. It's an intimate term that helps you and me identify and connect with God as one who is in close relationship with us today. I want you and me to just celebrate his goodness and his perfection, knowing that what he has started, he'll also see it through. Don't you know that God is the giver of life? Oh, come on here and preach now. Yes. It is he. When you were being formed in your mother's womb, that was at the authority, at the command of God, because he is the giver of life. And what he has started in you and me, he will see through to completion. Ah, I love what Brother Virgil just said a little while ago. He said that the devil has been busy, because what the devil seeks to do is to attack every institution that God has put in place. And when you were being formed in the womb, created to do good works because you are God's workmanship, the devil said, oh no, I can't let that one be free, because if I let that one be free, that one is going to disturb my work. And so the devil then began to chase you and pursue you, trying to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. But the perfect father set up a hedge of protection around you, kept you safe, so that no matter what weapons were formed against you, they would not be successful. Why? Because he's a perfect father, providing perfect provision so that what he has started will be completed. Amen. Amen. I want you to look beyond these earthly daddies. Oh, if your earthly daddy has been good, celebrate him. For the word of God says that we ought to honor them. And let me just go ahead and be honest. Even if they ain't been good, go ahead and celebrate them. Let me tell you why you celebrate them. Because if it had not been for that vehicle being used, you wouldn't be here. Amen? Amen. And so don't get so caught up in their imperfections that you get all broke down on Father's Day and you start talking about my daddy wasn't this and my daddy wasn't that. Listen, your daddy did his job. Yeah, he did his job. And then when he became subject to the influence of the enemy and he had to step out of the way, God had a surrogate there. God had somebody there that would hold you up and make sure that you went the distance. So you stop getting caught up in all that stuff. Talk about, I got a good daddy. And let's be honest. Because what God has done is along the way, he's placed some daddies in your path. Amen. And see, that's one of the beautiful things about being a member of the church, right? One of the beautiful things about being a member of the church is that the Bible in Psalm 68 says God sets the lonely in families. It talks about how God is a father to the fatherless and how he takes heart of orphans and widows. It talks about God's compassion and what he does. And what God has done, he has raised up the church to be a part of his work so that when there are those who are derelict in their responsibilities, when there are those who have lost because of no issues of their own, God still says, I got you covered. And then he takes those who are covered in human flesh and he says to us at the appointed times, love on that one right there. And listen, it may be just for a season, but love on that one right there. Sometimes he says you got to go and be present where an earthly father is needed. You need to go so that they can see that I am still with them. God has provided for you and for me. Why? Because he is the perfect God. This motif of father runs throughout the Bible. In fact, Luke, when he was given the genealogy of Jesus Christ, he traces from Joseph all the way back to Adam because he wants to emphasize Jesus being the Son of God. Also the Son of Man. So he goes from Joseph, who was his earthly father, or his, as we say, stepfather, and he traces back to Adam. And you know that Adam, his life began because God shaped him and fashioned him, and then he breathed into him life. So he then has God as his father. This motif moves from Genesis all the way through the end of the book. In fact, Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples how to pray, you remember how they start? Our Father. He said, I want you to recognize that God is your Father. It's a legitimate claim that's given to those who belong to God, especially as they have placed their hope and their confidence in Jesus Christ. This thing was so deep that on one occasion when Jesus was ministering, his mother and his family, his brothers and sisters, came looking for him. And someone came into the crowd and they said, your mother and your brothers and your sisters want to see you outside. And Jesus stops what he is teaching for a moment and he opens up a new lesson. And he says, who are my mother and my brother and my sisters? Who is my family? And he stops and he points out to them, it is those who trust in God. It is those who have their obedience tied to who God is. He says that when you are there, that you can claim him as Father, and when you call him, he will answer. Now, I'm making a distinction because, you know, sometimes folk try to go through this thing that if God created everybody, he's father of all. Well, he is the creator of all. Amen. But make no mistake about it. God knows who his children are. And there are some that belong to the devil. Amen. And then there are those who belong to him. He has said those who belong to him are tied to the body of Christ. They are members of his body. They belong to him. And that when you call out to him, he hears you because you are his children. 1 John says it this way. This is the confidence that you and I have. That when we cry out unto him, we know that he hears us. Oh, wait, it gets better. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the thing that we have asked of him. Amen. Why? Because you and I, we pray in faith. We pray according to the word of God. And because he is a perfect father, a good, good father, he hears us and he gives us what we need. Because he is a perfect father. This motif of father just keeps moving throughout the scriptures because God is wanting you and me to know that he is not about religion. He's about relationship. That he wants you and me to know that he wants you to be with him. When you spent your time here on earth, he wants you to be with him where he is. So much so that Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, in my father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. He said, listen, what I'm doing is I'm going back and I'm going to prepare a place just for you. So that when your time is done here, listen, you already got a place ready for you. Why? Because the Father is about relationship, and he said he wants you to be where he is to enjoy what he is enjoying so that you can know him as he really is. Oh, that's the benefit of having God as your Father. Or should I say one of the benefits of having God as your Father. When you have an opportunity, I want you to go back and take a few minutes and look at Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6. That is a part of what is known as the Beatitudes or the sermon, really, the Sermon on the Mount. And in that, there are descriptions about who the Father is. There are descriptions about what you and I can expect from our Heavenly Father. And as you know, when you get to the end of chapter 6, he starts to say things like this. Do not worry about what you will wear. Do not worry about what you're going to eat. Do not worry about all these things that the people of this world worry about. He says, why? Because your Heavenly Father knows that you already need all of this stuff. Amen. And if he knows that you already need it, that means that he is going to take the means to provide for you. In fact, he uses some illustrations. He says, look at the lilies of the valley and how well they are dressed. Look at the birds of the air, the fact that they never go hungry. He says that if your Father can take care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, those things that are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he take care of you? Amen. If a perfect father can do that for those things, birds and lilies, what is he going to do for you? Oh, yeah. You can be assured that he is going to provide at a much higher level for you because his intent is that you dwell with him forever, that you live with him forever. And therefore, he's making provision so that that which he desires will be fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, he is a good, good father. He's a good father. I love the story that is told in Luke chapter 13. Again, write that down. And if you have time during the course of the week, I want to encourage you to read Luke chapter 13, because it tells the story
about a woman who had been stricken with an illness. And she had been dealing with this condition for a number of years. One day, this woman happened to be on a church day on the Sabbath in the synagogue. The Bible says that she had been in this crippled condition, get this, for 18 long years. When Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, Jesus himself, Jesus who comes representing God, when Jesus sees her, because he is trying to show you and me what the Father is like. Remember Jesus said, if you want to know what the Father is like, just look in me. Isn't that what Jesus said? Because the mandate was this when he said to Adam and Eve, go and multiply, be fruitful, and spread my image throughout the earth. The idea was that they were created in the image of God and they were supposed to spread the image of God throughout the earth. But you know how it is, because they were wrapped in this thing called flesh and blood, because they were there and they got caught up in the whispers of the enemy, they ended up stumbling and fall. And therefore the image that then began to move throughout the earth was marred. It was messed up. It was not a good representation of who the Father is. But when Jesus comes, who is perfect in all of his ways, who has no sin, no error in him, when Jesus comes, he becomes the image of the invisible God. So when you look at Jesus, what you see is God. That's why Jesus said to Thomas, what do you mean you don't know? Show us the Father. Show us the way. What are you talking about? If you've been with me, you know what the Father looks like. So Jesus then, when we look at him, we see him modeling what the Father looks like. And so when this woman who has been crippled for 18 years on the Sabbath day shows up in the synagogue, Jesus looks at her and, like a wonderful father, has compassion. Ooh, that's good right there. See, when you're going through your hurts, when you're going through your pains and you feel like nobody cares, remember your Father who is perfect sees you. He has compassion on you. And though you may not receive immediate relief, what you can be sure of is this, is that relief is coming. Amen. And all your job is to just hold on just a little while longer. Whatever you do, don't let go. Don't let go. And if you feel yourself slipping, reach up with the other hand. Just make sure that you've made up your mind. I'm not going to let go, because I know any moment now, he's going to rescue me. Why? Because he's a good, good father. He's perfect in all of his ways. Jesus looks at the woman and he has compassion upon her. And in his moment of compassion, he also demonstrates his power. Right? Because in Acts chapter 10, verse number 38, we're told that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. That wherever he went, he was destroying the work of the devil. Why? Because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Because he is the commander. Whatever he says must obey. When he says let go, whatever has got you must let go. Oh, that's good. That's good. Whew. Jesus looks at the woman. He says, you are set free from your infirmity. And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up. And I love what she did next. She praised God. Why? Because she's been set free from the thing that bound her. And what she did was praise God, because Jesus, who comes as a representative of the King, who comes as the image of the invisible God, shows her the Father, and all of a sudden she begins to praise God. But wait a minute, we got some problems, because there are some folks there that didn't want to see the love of God, the power of God being expressed in a person's life. They'd much rather see that person being hemmed up with this infirmity. They'd much rather see the woman walk bent over than for them to praise God. They much rather hang on to their power than for them to acknowledge the God who is able. And so they start getting all upset, grumbling and complaining and talking about it's the Sabbath. It's 6 days for you to get your healing. Get it on one of them days. Don't be trying to do it on the Sabbath. You know how folk that made something that's supposed to be sacred, right? Have allowed religion to get all wrapped up in it, right? And they missed the fact that, wait a minute, the Sabbath was what? Created for man. Not man for the Sabbath. It was a day where you were to rest and to give worship and celebrate God. This woman did the right thing, praising God on the Sabbath. But because they all twisted and confused, they get upset and they get all indignant and they start to complain. And then Jesus, in his wisdom, he says, "You hypocrites." Now, see, this is what I love about Jesus, and he's modeling for us what a good father looks like, right? Because when you messing with somebody's kid, listen, I'm going to help y'all out. I'm glad his kids are almost grown right now, but don't you mess with Deacon Drain's kids. Deacon Drain is one of the nicest men I know. Gentle. He's a gentle giant. He's a teddy bear. But when you start messing with his kids, excuse me, and his kids' mama, you getting ready to walk into something that you didn't ask for. You're gonna like, wait a minute. You'd be like, if I had only known, I would have kept my mouth closed. Because he does what a father does. What a father does is provide protection, right? What a father does is stand in and speak up when you can't speak for yourself. What a father does is shows up and he builds a hedge around you so that as a child, or even as a wife, you are able, because he's also your covering, even as he is able then to give you an environment where you can flourish. That's what Jesus does when these folks start talking this nonsense about 6 days for you to get your healing. Why you gonna come in here on the Sabbath? Why you even come to church? She came to church with an expectation. Amen. And it was to her delight that Jesus was there on that day. Because if Jesus had not been there on that day, that same old dead stuff that had been happening would have been happening on that day. But to her delight, Jesus was present. And because Jesus was present, her life would never be the same. Jesus says, "You hypocrites, listen, if you had an animal that fell into a hole on the Sabbath day, would you walk away and leave that animal in that hole on the Sabbath day and wait and come back and get it later?" Well, you know they didn't respond, right? Because with being confronted in that way, yeah. They don't want to acknowledge that he's right. And so they just kind of keep quiet. But he says, "Should not this woman," this is what I want you to see, "who is a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, shouldn't she be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said all of this, when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. Oh, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is an attribute of the Father that says that he has come to set you and me free from whatever binds us, whatever has us tied up. He's saying that he has the compassion. He's saying that he has the power to set you and me free. That's the love of a perfect father. When you and me, us earthly dads, can learn how to model and imitate what God does, then that means that he has even more to work with in his means of showing his love to his children. Because he's a good, good father. I think this last illustration captures the essence of this father. It's a story that you are so very familiar with. Over in Luke chapter 15, it is the story about a son that was called a prodigal. He was called a prodigal because he determined that he wanted a share of his dad's estate. And so one day he went and he asked his dad, "Give me what belongs to me. Give me my half." His dad was not obligated to give him his half because normally what happens is an inheritance is only received at the death of a loved one. The son was not yet entitled to receive what the father had, but in his love and in his compassion, this father took the time to divide up and to separate out his estate, and he gave a portion of that estate to this son. As Jesus is telling the story, he says, after a while, this son leaves home. He goes about, he begins to live a lifestyle different from what this father has raised him to be. It says that he squanders all of his inheritance, all of what his daddy worked for, all of what his daddy gave him. He squanders it on what is referred to as riotous living. That means that he was footloose, fancy free. What you say? He was partying all the time. He was there enjoying himself, gratifying his flesh. And you know how it is when folk discover you got a little money, they become your friends. Folk that wouldn't talk to you before, suddenly they don't mind enjoying your company. And so he then got friends that only were friends because of his money. Here's how we know that to be true, because when he ran out of money, they left him high and dry. So the condition gets worse. Now he's broke. And there's a famine that comes into the particular part of the country where he has gone to, and food is scarce. And he ends up hiring himself out to a pig farmer. And he is now working the farm, feeding pigs. And as an illustration of how bad his situation has gotten, one day when he's feeding the pigs, he looks down at the slop that he's given the pigs. And suddenly what was once grotesque to him starts to be appealing. If only I had a spoon. Wait a minute. I don't even need a spoon. He got to the place where he was hungry enough to begin eating the slop that the pigs were eating. Jesus is painting this picture to show you and me the condition that the young man had fallen to. Do you know that sometimes when you choose to walk away from the Father who loves you, who is perfect, he will allow your conditions to get in such a way because his desire and his goal is that you will come back to him. When trouble comes your way and you are outside of the will of God, you can be assured that part of your trouble is a result of you being outside of the will of God. Your job is not to make up excuses for being outside of the will of God. Your job is to walk in obedience, to repent, and to return to the Father. Don't think that your trouble gonna stop. As long as you're outside of the will of God, trouble gonna come your way. This young man, he's longing to eat what the pigs are eating, suddenly remembers who he is, suddenly remembers where he came from, suddenly remembers who his father is.
suddenly remembers that, wait a minute, my dad was a good dad. My dad not only took care of me and my brother, but he treated his servants with care. Why am I out here subjecting myself to this abuse when I can be back home in my father's house? I won't even go back and ask for the status that I had before. I'll just go back and say, Dad, can you give me a job? Can you let me work for you where I know that I'm going to get fed and I don't have to eat pig food? And so when he starts to think about this, he works up the courage to do what he should have done a long time ago. He works up the courage to leave the condition that he was in and go back to his father's house. And as he is on his way, he is rehearsing his story. He wants to make sure that his attitude is right. He wants to make sure that he got his lines right, because and he didn't have many lines. He just wanted to make sure that his dad understood that. I'm sorry. Dad, I was wrong. Dad, I sinned against you. Can you forgive me? And can I have a job? And so he's going through that over and over in his mind on his way back home. But what I love about the story is the picture that it paints about the father. Because he is the perfect father who recognizes the needs of his children. And so this picture that Jesus is painting shows this father seeing his son from a distance. The boy is on his way home, rehearsing his lines, and daddy is at home waiting. Ooh, huh? He's at home waiting. And then it says, when the daddy sees the boy from a distance, daddy stands up. Ooh, did you get that? God will see you from a distance, trying to make your way to him. He doesn't sit there and wait and see if you're going to make it. He gets up because he's going to come and meet you, because he knows you might stumble and fall. He's not going to take any chances. If you made it this far, boy, don't worry. I'm coming. Jesus gets up. He says the Father gets up. He goes to meet the boy. And when he meets the boy, come on up here, girl. Meets him right where he is, smelly, stinky, hair all matted, yeah. And meets him right where he is. And when he meets him, he doesn't turn up his nose. Boy, what you been doing? When he meets him, he doesn't begin to give him a sermon. He doesn't begin to chastise him. He doesn't begin to do any of those things. But like a loving father, when he meets him, he grabs him. That's my boy. He was lost, but now he's found. Come here, boy. And he grabs him. He puts his arm around him, and he hugs him, and he squeezes him. And he reminds him that you still mine. Oh, you may have wandered off, but you still mine. And the boy who has been practicing his speech gets ready to kind of utter a word out of his mouth. And his daddy stops him. He interrupts him and says to his servant, hey, go get my boy a robe. Because look at him. This stuff is not fit for one of my children. Go get him a robe. And listen, while you're in there, go ahead and get a ring, because we need to put a ring on his finger to remind him of who he is, that he belongs to me. And now all of a sudden, the boy who had practiced his speech, wanted to tell daddy, I'm sorry that I've sinned against you, he just choked up. You know how it is when you really get choked up. You're trying to say something, but you're so choked up that all you can do is make that cry face. You know that one that sometimes when I get in that moment and God is doing something, I want to say something, but all I got is my cry face. Tears rolling down his cheek. He can't talk because all of a sudden he's been arrested by the Father's love. And he caught up in the moment. And he's realizing that he doesn't deserve the love that he's getting, but his father is still giving it to him. And he's there, and the father says, and oh, by the way, when you get the robe and when you get the ring, tell the chef to pull out the fattened calf. Because today is a day for celebration. For my boy that was lost has come home. My boy has been found. See, that's the safety net. That's the safety net, right? That's the safety net. When the boy fell, there was a safety net that was there. And it's pointing to the picture of who Jesus is for you and me. For it said that God so loved you and me, he loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, that when we stumble and fall, that he'll be a safety net for us. That no, we don't have to stay in that sin, but that he would rescue us. He would raise us up that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Why? Because the Father is perfect in all that he does, and he loves us with a perfection, with a perfect kind of love. That's the kind of Father we celebrating today. Amen. The kind of Father that sees our errors in our mistakes, but loves us anyway. The kind of Father that rescues us from our errors and mistakes and sets us on stable ground. That's who we're celebrating today. That's the kind of Father that we are celebrating today. The one who saw that we were out and that we were lost, and he sent us a rescuer to come and to save us from our sins so that we might be in good relationship with him. That's the kind of Father that you and I are celebrating. He's a perfect Father that if you will let him, he will redeem you from all of your failures. He'll redeem you from all of your disappointments. He will restore you and set you in a place such that your mind is at peace, your heart is at peace, and you are full of joy and not anger. If you will let him. If you will let him, he'll come in and show you that he has been with you and he has not left you nor abandoned you. He will fill you with the same kind of forgiveness that he lavished upon you for those who have disappointed you and failed you. He will help you say to them, I forgive you that you were imperfect. I forgive you that you could not fulfill your purpose. I forgive you that you let me down. Oh, but God. See, that's the power of forgiveness. When you can fix your eyes on God, he allows you to let go of anger and bitterness. Because if you hold on to anger and bitterness, it will do nothing but eat at you and destroy who you are. But God says, no, I'm not going to let that happen. I want you to put your eyes on me, and I want you to recognize that I have seen you, that I have known you, that I have loved you from the beginning, and I won't stop. There is nothing you can do to push me away. I'm going to keep loving you and keep loving you and keep loving you until I love you out of the mess that you're in so that you begin to reflect who I am. So Jesus said it this way. Let your light shine before men, before others, so that they can see your good deeds and not glorify yourself. They can see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And as a perfect Father, he is saying that he will shine you up so that your good deeds can be seen, that he will be glorified, and that men will indeed be drawn unto him because he has been lifted up. Amen.